And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one. That's how we get the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
This is Craig.
Oh, hello, Craig. Well, it's the first podcast of 2017.
The year of the 17.
The year of the 17 is right, Bubba. And we want to say thank you to our podcast sponsor for this week.
Yes, this podcast is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, only at Walmart. Check it out, Straight Talk Wireless. And Straight Talk Wireless.
Carson, I got to tell you, Carson and I were speaking before we went on the podcast, but how much we love Katie Couric. And I told her, I said, oh, you just make me want to just go Google Katie Couric. And I came up with an image of Katie without makeup.
And?
It looks like Patrick.
Really?
It's awful.
Oh, hold on. Can I come look?
Come on over. I mean, it doesn't look like Patrick. It's not that bad, but it's just you get so used to seeing someone.
Oh, she's still adorable.
Oh, stop it. You're such a girl. She's so adorable.
He's the best.
Right, Patrick? Right.
She looks like.
What's that guy?
Spider-Man?
The
octopus guy?
No, the guy
who was his roommate, right?
Oh,
no, the first Spider-Man.
All right, I'm going to take
the thing. What's his name?
Like James Sandman. Franco?
No.
James Franco's dad in the first movie.
Oh, wow.
William Dafoe. Yes,
it does.
I see it.
She looks like William Dafoe.
No.
Yes, she does.
Side by side.
Oh, yeah. You guys are terrible. Yeah. No, she William doesn't.
William Dafoe.
See if I can get that over there.
I don't know. I can't tell what you're seeing. All right. Sure. I'll do this. I'll play. So here,
I mean, okay, John, I mean, look,
we're terrible people.
Mean?
I get it. Yes. We're terrible, awful people. I know.
I can't believe you.
But William Dafoe is Katie Couric without makeup. And you know what? Dang, good for her.
There is a little bit of that. Like, you could totally see her in that Snickers ad with the...
I know. They're very
terrible.
Few people.
I will a dress on a Starbucks.
I know.
I mean, I will trash talk just about anybody, but never Katie. No.
So anyway,
I think I just messed up the sound. If the sound's messed up, let us know.
Oh,
thank you.
Katie Couric without makeup. William Dafoe. Look, is that
William
Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe.
Willem.
Is it Willem? I've never known that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? There you go.
People. Lisa's like, y'all are so cruel.
Oh,
the Facebook watchers are like, this is terrible. I can't believe you said that. Yeah.
We didn't say it was nice. We said it was just, you know, just saying.
So his name, is it William Dafoe?
It's Willem.
Well, who named your kid Willem?
Somebody who needed to buy a vowel?
Mr. and Mrs. Dafoe.
Willem? Yeah. How do you even spell that?
W-I-L-L-E-M.
Willem Dafoe. Oh my gosh, I just pull it.
It's Katie Couric without makeup.
All right, go back to Katie Couric with makeup and restore it.
Yeah. Guys, you remember the first
time? Big D has a crush.
Yeah,
and always had. He's always thought she was hot.
I just think she's really cool.
She's super nice and down to earth, and she's...
Well, tell a story about your Katie Couric story.
Okay. So when I was in college and I went to a university where sororities were a very big deal and you had to have recommendations to even be considered to join a house. And I was going through, I guess, the list of famous alumni for Tridel, and Katie Couric was one of them. And my dad worked at NBC and he was really good friends with somebody that worked at the Today Show. And I mentioned, hey, Katie Couric was Tridel. Any chance that Bobby could help me meet her so I could get a rec? Well, he talks to his friend Bobby, who talks to Katie, who says, well, I don't give recommendations to anybody I don't know, so have her come in and meet with me.
Katie Couric said, you go in and hang out with
her
for a little while.
So I went and hung out with Katie for the better part of 45 minutes, and she wrote me a glowing recommendation, which included a separate letter. She didn't just fill out the form. She was as nice as she could be. And actually, when I was trying to explain what my dad did, which I I still to this day can't tell you what my father did for a living. So she called him, and my dad will tell the story about it. He looked down at his phone, and it said, Couric, Katie, pop up on the display.
Okay.
And he was like, hello? And, hey, I'm here with your daughter. And she wrote me a rec, and she was awesome for that.
Did she sign it the Green Goblin?
Oh, no. She did not sign it. Well, maybe she signed it Willem Dafoe, and that's why I didn't get in.
Oh, you didn't get in?
Oh, I was cut first round.
Even with that kind of glowing recommendation?
I got cut from every house first round. The rumor was every other house on the row said, well, we all know she's going Tridelt because she got Katie Couric to write her recommendation. And Tridelt said, oh, that's cute, little Yankee girl. You think you're joining our house?
Wow.
So that's what I heard. I don't know that they did that, but that was the rumor.
Well, that kind of sucks. Like,
yeah, being told that 6,000 girls don't want you to be their sister. Aww. That was a dark day. That was a dark day on campus for me.
Oh, that's rough.
So, like, what do you have to do? There's rounds? I was never...
Yeah, there's three rounds of rush. This was at Ole Miss, so I'm sure other colleges do differently. But our rush at the time was three rounds. The first one, everybody goes, you meet... You go to all the houses, then you get invited back to some of them.
What do you mean, all the houses? What do you
The sorority houses. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're just going and meeting a bunch of other people?
Yeah, you're meeting the girls at the separate sororities, and then you get a list back, in an ideal world, of those that would like to continue talking to you. It's kind of like online dating. And then you,
sounds like it.
You whittle it down to, I think, seven houses. And then the third round, you whittle it down to three. Or
and
you
they
hope,
swipe right and
you hope
what
three
happens.
Want you. And then on bid day, you go and you find out which sorority wants you, and you run down the hill and they embrace you in
you
their
do
arms.
Not, that is not true.
You, oh, there's
you
videos.
Run down a hill.
Yeah, you run down sorority row.
So the, well, I is mean, there like I a starting didn't.
Into their waiting arms.
I didn't. I was in my dorm
okay, wait,
room
wait, wait,
alone.
Wait. So are you saying yes. That on bid day.
Bid day. You get your bid.
There is a group of how many possible
At the time, we had 10.
Okay, so there's 10 girls that 10 are on
groups
their,
of,
10 groups,
yep.
Yeah.
10 groups,
groups
of,
girls. Of okay. And so there's
and everybody
over
gets
100?
At the top of the hill?
Over 100?
Over 100 girls?
Yeah.
In each house?
Well, who
probably.
Running down the hill? How many
girls? Oh, like as many girls as go through. It's like a freshman class.
Like a stampede.
At the university. So I would say, honestly, probably between... I don't think it would be unreasonable to say 1,000 girls. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And then they have a gun that goes off.
There is no starting pistol.
There's some old man at the top, and he's got a tape and a pair of scissors. And he's like,
and we're waving the checkered flag. It's a whole thing. No, you run down the hill, and they put you in your T-shirt with your new letters in your house, and you take these adorable pictures because college is amazing, and we're going to be sisters forever, and... I wasn't.
Man, that just sounds so awful. It sounds so awful.
Let me tell you,
today.
As an 18-year-old girl, I was so wrapped up in it, and I wanted it so badly I could taste it. And no.
Did you ever get in any sorority then?
No. Again, they all cut me first round. That
you,
was it. They all
don't
said,
get to, you
nope.
get to try again?
Nope. Well, I mean, I could have the next year, but really, I'm a pretty, like, you dump me. I'm not one of those girls who's going to drive by your house. I'm not going to call you and plead take me back. Uh-uh. You dump me, I'm out. And I took the same approach with sororities. Like,
did
you don't
you
want
have,
me, I'm out.
Did you find yourself avoiding those girls on campus?
No, not actually. I got to be, that year, I got to be really good friends with a bunch of them, including a Tridelt. And one of the
Tridelt?
I know, she did. And which, again, but this is the house that, you know, they all rejected me. But no, I got to be good friends. And a few of them are like, so, I mean, how come you're not in a sorority? Because y'all said no, because y'all didn't want me. And so that was the end of it. I mean, I didn't hold any hard feelings toward anyone because it's very political in some places.
Back to you hanging out with Katie Couric for 45 minutes.
I mean, that's, I
that
mean,
is kind of
you,
cool.
Political,
Did
you had
ask
the political.
Her what it was like to be on the set of Platoon? And
what?
She was not
she was
in
Mississippi Burning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to make Willem Dafoe jokes. It's getting uncomfortable.
Speaking of Platoon, big shout out to Chris, who is watching the Facebook feed right now. He is in Afghanistan. What's up, dude? Also, Rosalind, she said, been listening since I joined the military back in 2005. So glad that you do AFN. thank you. So definitely thank you to all of our men and women who are checking in, watching the live feed or listening now to the podcast or however you may be getting the show, wherever you may be. Thank you. Yeah. You mean a lot to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope you're safe. I have to tell you, I don't normally wear our own swag. I try not to.
Did you get the hat on
but
today?
I'm wearing a Big D and Bubba hat, and I just realized this is the most comfortable baseball cap I own.
Well, don't you remember
it's
whenever...
It's really nice.
Whenever we did the whole, I guess, trial run, like all the t-shirts, all the caps, everything, whenever we were trying to do the merchandise. This is a nice little plug for the store, by the way, which is on bigdandbubba.com. But whenever we did all that, we got like 50 samples of hats. And we whittled it down like to this one fits the best, feels the best, the whole thing. And we did that with the t-shirts and everything too, like the material. And we wanted it to be thin enough to be cool and hip, but also heavy enough to where it would last more than two washings.
Yeah.
So we made sure that, you know, everything was hand-picked.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. It's
very soft and almost velvety.
It is almost velvety.
It feels like butter on your brain.
Yeah. On the podcast, we haven't really talked a whole lot about what our aspirations are besides losing weight for 2017.
Mine is to get rid of this pneumonia that I think I got.
Bubba thinks he has pneumonia.
I got sick the day that we left for Christmas vacation, and then it has not gotten better. It got good for about 2 days while we were doing Disney, and then bam, it hit me again, and it has gotten far worse than it was before. I mean, you know, like in between when we're doing the show, the whole time all you hear when the microphones are off is
yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, no, you need to go see Dr. Way.
I'm planning on it.
Oh, Bubba.
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
You would need a shot.
Oh, you were turning into a big Bubba. It's a Big D and Big Bubba.
Can you imagine if Bubba's doctor is Dr. Way and he's Korean?
Yes.
And
he's the best doctor
Bubba
ever.
Bubba loves him. But his doctor rubs Bubba's belly. Like, can you imagine going?
He just comes in and goes, "Oh, you getting he pats a big his Bubba?" Belly.
Can you imagine your doctor doing that?
No,
it's excellent. He's the best.
Oh my god!
What if you're walking down the hall, Carson, and your doctor slaps you on the rear and goes, "Hey"?
That would be the biggest payday ever for me. I would turn that into a lawsuit so quick.
I like
it. No, you can't slap that. Come on.
It's real.
Bubba doesn't mind it. He doesn't mind it. I think he kind of likes it.
I would let him pick it up and, hey, you want to see you drop 20 pounds? And he does a little.
He's telling jokes up in there?
No, he didn't do it. I'm saying if he would, I'd be totally cool with it.
So we are kind of briefly mentioned we're trying to lose weight and we're doing 100 pounds in 100 days where we try and collectively lose 100 pounds in 100 days. Bubba, you weighed
I just early? Got on this. Okay, now here's the deal. Starting weights, Big D, 374.4.
Doesn't that sound crazy? There's like no way I weigh that.
That's more than an offensive lineman in the NFL. Patrick, in the history of the NFL,
number six.
He would be the sixth heaviest lineman in all of NFL history.
He'd be the sixth heaviest player to ever play football professionally.
Yep.
I would be the eighth heaviest player to ever play professional football.
We're trying to get out of that.
It's insane. It is insane.
Trying to get out of that club.
I weighed 295.8, which is the absolute biggest.
Bubba would be the 17th heaviest player to ever
play. Yes.
No, I think there's a lot of 300-pounders. But, yeah, I've never been this close to 300 pounds. I'm like, yeah, we got to do something. I mean, I was going to the gym and everything the last 3 months of the year before December, and then I got sick, and I was, like, in the middle of Christmas, and I just got away from it. So it's been a month since I've been back in, and I don't feel good. I have no energy, and I'm achy and all that, so I don't want to go. Like, I'm not going today. Yeah. I'm not going today either. And my plan is to get back in the gym on Monday. But
isn't it that when you're sick, you just want to eat the worst?
Yes.
You just want to eat everything.
Well, like I said, man, I have these moments of weakness, but I'm fighting it. I'm not going to give up. Just because I'm sick, I'm not going to give up. But I do want to thank the sickness gods for letting me drop, according to stepping on the scale a minute ago, letting me drop about 8 pounds.
Wow.
So being sick is pretty good.
Cough over here. Bring it.
Yeah, no, you don't even know, Carson. So I'm telling you, Wednesday's going to roll around. Yeah. Wednesday's going to be.
And I'll be feeling better.
Wednesday, you're going to
be gaining that weight back.
I'm going to hate Wednesday because you're going to be the only girl in a weight loss competition with us three.
Yep.
And we're going to have guy weight loss.
Yep.
And it's going to anger you.
For sure.
Why would it anger her?
Because you
Because you lost. You've lost 8 pounds in 3 days.
That's all because I'm sick and it's weight and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's also. But okay, you're guys. I did this weight loss fitness thing a couple of years ago, and it was 42 pounds in 42 days. And you had to work out twice a day, and they put me on this super restrictive diet where all I ate was tilapia, broccoli, and rice cakes. Uh-huh. 42 days. That's the only three foods I ate. And I lost.
All 42 days.
I think there was one day I ate extra rice cakes. That was my big cheat day. Wow. I stuck to this. I was working out. And I'm like, but I'm all in. You say I can lose 42 pounds. Like, the end of the first week, you've lost 3 pounds. Three? Are you? Like, I'm ready to pull my hair out. I was awful to everybody around. I was so mean. And this was my reward, was 3 pounds. Meanwhile, I'm in class with guys in 42 days. Like, I think I lost somewhere around, like, 16 pounds. I've got guys who have lost 70. And I'm not saying they weren't working hard. But I promise you, I was sweating just as hard as they were.
Sure.
And it's because, guys, it's just in your, whatever your metabolic makeup is.
I always tell this to my wife, because she'll be like, oh, I only lost 4 pounds. I'm like, well, 4 pounds is 8 pounds in guy weight.
At least.
It's everything is basically double. Or if you're on the lady side, it's half of what the guy is. If a guy lost 20 pounds, then, or if the girl lost 20 pounds, that's like a guy losing 40. And that's very impressive. So don't get caught up in all that whole girl weight, guy weight thing. It isn't fair when you look at it. I mean,
that's why watching The Biggest Loser is like, you know, he's down 13 pounds this week.
Which is why they don't do it by weight,
1.4. I know.
They do it by percentage.
I know. It's still, but don't get me wrong. I would like those numbers.
What's the most weight you've lost in 1 week? Your record?
I don't know. In the high teens, probably 15, 16 pounds.
In 1 week?
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I mean,
that's Patrick's superpower, though. We've talked about that multiple times. It's amazing that he can do that.
The two of these guys are going to lose a lot of weight the first week. Second week, Bubba's going to start to tail off.
I do plateau.
Patrick will keep losing weight. Yeah. He'll lose 15 pounds probably 2 weeks in a row.
We'll see how much. I'm still not convinced there's going to be anything Patrick next week. We're talking about lunch, and he's like, I'm just going to order pizza. I'm like, yeah, like, we're on a diet.
Are you serious?
Really? You're thinking pizza?
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I might have said that.
Man, you're normally so in. Like, you're dialed in. You're not dialed in on this.
Well, look, Angie Middleton on the Facebook feed just asked, wait a minute, isn't a pound a pound? No, it's not. And I think that is a big misconception. We have to go back to this because it is very important. You cannot get caught up in the guy weight, girl weight thing. Mm-hmm. Guys' weight is always double. Whenever you're talking about losing, it's on average about double what a girl loses. So, Angie, if you're trying to lose weight and you lose 3 pounds and your significant other loses 6, well, guess what? You've lost the same percentage in our eyes. Don't get caught up in a pound as a pound because it's not. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you. It's something that's very important because it's not easy to do. Losing weight is very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're gauging yourself against people that lose weight like Patrick, where they can lose 15 pounds in a week, it's just difficult. It's hard to stay with it when you can't keep up.
It's so much more fun putting weight on.
Yes.
I really enjoy that part of it.
Cake.
I like to eat.
Well, by the way, to everyone who is trying to get us to get on the programs, we're not doing any programs. We got Beachbody people reaching out. Avicare people have been reaching out. We've had pretty much everybody. The Crazy Rap thing, Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, everybody's done it. But we're all doing it our own way.
Is there anyone there that will wire my jaw shut?
No, there is.
I mean, that might work.
There is that option. And that could work.
Although milkshakes are liquid.
Are you working out or are you just doing diet?
I have not been back to the gym this week, but I do have plans to be there tomorrow through the weekend. So I've got my gym bag ready to go.
Good.
So I'm going. So I will be working out.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, I went in yesterday and getting back into it. So.
How full was it? Because 'tis the season for everybody to be at the gym.
I pass by my gym every day when I leave here at the office, and there's not even a parking place. I would have to sit there and go around in circles until I could find one, which is also another thing that is a little frustrating because I went and I finally found one, but by the time I was able to get in, I was tired. I took a nap. I went to the gym. Remember the day I got all dressed? Like, what was it, Wednesday or whatever? I got all dressed up. I'm going to the gym. And I left, and I wasn't feeling good still, and I just laid down. I took an hour nap in the gym parking lot. I'm like, that was a good workout. Time to go home.
That's amazing.
I tried, though.
I'm going to tell you, here's the worst part of that story, is that Bubba beat me because he drove to the gym.
Yeah. You actually did do better.
At least did that.
For all we know, that's all he's been doing. It's just I'm going to the gym.
And he did go.
And he leaves off to nap.
But he's not lying. He went to the gym.
He did go to the gym.
I passed by my gym the other day to go to the grocery store to buy ice cream.
Yeah. Hey, I got to see Rogue One on vacation.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I'm not a Star Wars geek nerd, huge fan, but I thought I really like these self-contained Star Wars,
but it wasn't
movies.
Self-contained. It was basically a bridge between the Rebels cartoon series and the New Hope number 4. I had to think about which episode. I almost called it number 1, which it isn't, and it always messes me up.
What are you doing? What? God's name talking
the
about?
Rebels, the Disney Channel cartoon.
Yeah.
You even had General Syndulla. You had the ghost at the battle, the ship.
I'm just going to call it the movie that's before A New Hope.
Like I said, I like these self-contained Star Wars movies.
Can you believe these are the people I have to work with? They don't even know Star Wars.
You don't have to have all that knowledge to enjoy it. I'm sure there are things that I missed. You know, there are things that Bubba would have, you know, he saw that were like, oh, that's a nod to
I told
whatever.
You, I kept interrupting the movie. I'm going, hey, Stacey, because she's my wife's next to me. I'm like, hey, that's, and I'd like throw out whatever reference, and she'd just kind of give me that little stop talking to me look.
Yeah. But it was really good. I went with it was actually all of our family. We were in Tucson, and they have a theater that you go in, there's probably only 50 seats in the whole theater, and you go in and they are the leather reclining full reclining chairs, and there is a little swivel desk / table that you slide in front of you, and you order, you hit a button and they have a menu and you order and they just bring you your dinner or drink. They have a full bar, they have a coffee bar as well, a regular bar, alcohol. And you need to sit there and eat like legit, like steaks, seafood, burgers, chicken fingers, nachos, whatever, while you're watching the movie. And if you need something in the middle of the movie, you can still hit it. And they'll come out. They have a little light that you can on all the seats. And you write down your order on a little piece of paper with a pencil and you hand it to them. And they bring it back to you during the movie. So
that's amazing.
It was great.
I've heard of those. I've never been to one.
It was packed. In fact, it was so busy. We had to reserve. I think there's 10 of us that went. We had to reserve a week out. So we ended up going at like 9:30 in the morning to go see this. And it was packed.
Well, when you go in, so let's say the movie, they tell you showtime is 9:30, but
you
does
get the
movie
30 minutes early?
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
But you don't need to order. They want you to get there early so you can go ahead and get your order in,
right?
But you can still order during the show at any time. You can order, but it was neat. But I found that I didn't want to like when I ordered. I don't know something. I don't even know where I got, but fries maybe. Mm-hmm. There's a basket of fries. And I got it early in the show before it even started. But then I didn't want anything afterwards, you know, during the show. So I didn't really use that part of it. But it's a pretty neat concept. They had one in Tucson, one in Phoenix or Scottsdale.
I'm not sure I'd feel about eating, when I say during the movie, I mean, obviously I usually get popcorn or something. But the idea that somebody would, like, bring me a full-on dinner 20 minutes into it, I'm not sure I could That's just, it's weird to me because I've never done it.
Yeah.
That I go, I'm not sure I'd be able to.
It's distracting to me.
Yeah.
I don't like, well, I don't like having any food, any candy or whatever. I'll eat all that during the trailers. I'll get it out of the way and then I'll have my big giant icy or whatever. And I'm good. That's all I need. Just something to keep my throat wet.
And that popcorn makes me sick. I feel sick afterwards.
No.
Like, if I eat, like, if you say, here's 3 cups, I could eat that. But I, you know, a whole bag.
I
get a real funk. Like, I'm just like, oh, I don't feel good at all. But I'm sure it's all the everything in it. But yeah, it was really good, man. My mother-in-law did not like it. She was not. She's 80, and we walk out, and she says, "Well, that was my first Star Wars movie, and it will be my last." And like, you know, making.
But how old is she?
80.
Okay.
And like my father-in-law, he couldn't understand what they're saying.
My parents can't do movies anymore. Like, what? I took my mom to go see Lone Survivor when that movie was in the theaters, and she couldn't take it. Like, she got up, she was like, it was too real. I'm like, what? She was like, it was here's the shaking of the camera because the way they do the action scenes now. She said it was way too much moving.
I could understand that.
Because, like, their movies, like, from back when they were younger, the cameras were always stationary.
It's also, I hate to be old man guy here, but it's also too loud in there.
It is very loud. But, you know, that's good for my dad because he can't
actually
hear.
It is ideal for them, isn't it? For older people?
Yeah.
But like, for the rest of us, we're like.
That shock of, like, they really think they should kind of slowly ramp that up. You know, they got a 17-year-old kid up there running it. Probably they didn't care, but that was, I always thought that'd be a really cool job to work at a theater, and when they had the film, you know, back
the
in the
actual
day,
projectors,
and going up and
how
making
do
sure
it
it's
now?
All done.
I Is think it all digital?
Yeah, it's all.
When I went to go see, I think the last Harry Potter movie, I went to a midnight screening. Everybody's dressed up, and it was supposed to start at midnight.
Like in their Sunday best?
Oh, no. We were all in our robes and our Hogwarts attire. And so it's midnight. It's supposed to start. And you know, the movie probably won't start for half an hour. They'll run trailers. But they weren't running anything. The theater's still lit. And it's going on and on and on. And people are starting to get mad because when is this thing going to start already? Because now we're all indignant. Why are we getting screwed? Whatever. And it turned out there was a problem with the digital file countrywide. Everybody was backed up. So even
is
like
it
the
like
theaters
a download
next to
thing?
Us,
they download
I don't
the
know
file?
The specifics, but that was what like the manager came in and was like, folks, there's a problem with the digital, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right. And the point was, well, okay, as long as nobody else is seeing it first, then we cool.
Almost like it's a streaming thing.
He was clicking on Dropbox and waiting for it to load. I mean, I don't. But that was the impression that we were left with was it was sent out to everybody, and there
was
a problem with
distribution. Well, they have those things that you can get at your house. It's called the black box or something like that.
Oh,
have you seen
that?
It's like $50,000 to get this DVR. It's a special DVR, and then like $10,000 a movie. And you can watch the movies that are in the theaters, you know, like day of, the day they come out.
All right.
So it's like turning your house into a theater.
All right. So I looked it up, and here is the answer. They do not use film anymore, as we said. They use a magnetic, a magnetic hard drive. Nowadays, most theater
like
chains.
A hard drive.
Yeah, right. You mean a hard drive? Nowadays, theater chains use digital projectors, and movies are distributed to them in magnetic hard drives. And so they get it, and I guess that's.
So they download the movie, is what they do.
It. Yeah.
Who knew? Who knew?
It's pretty interesting. Seems like a lot of work. Man.
Yep.
That just seems like that will be a thing of the past.
What, theaters?
I
think there's always going to be theaters.
Physically sending a thing out, it's like Netflix with the DVDs. I mean, I know there are millions of people who still do that, but man, why?
Yeah.
I just stream it.
I don't like the little no gun policy at the theaters now. You and I have talked about this all the time. When I go, I check if they got the Buster symbol up on the window. Uh-huh. I don't need to go to a movie.
Yeah. Depending,
because I go to a bunch of different theaters around the country.
Right.
And I'm like, nope, they don't need my business.
I don't even get whether you're pro or anti-gun, it makes zero sense. If you say, I don't want any guns in the theater because it'll make me safer. Okay, so it's safer if there are no guns in the theater.
Absolutely.
I agree.
1,000%.
100,000%.
But the bad guys aren't going to be looking at the sign.
It would be 100% safer if there were no bad guys.
That's the thing.
Can we get that sign?
Yeah. Ban the bad guys.
Like
no
the shady guy. Like they used to have at the railroad crossings.
The shady looking guy that was on the neighborhood watch sign.
Yeah, that guy. You can only see the one eye.
That would be great.
He's looking over his shoulder.
Criminals are shady people.
If we can get that sign at the theater.
That
down.
Would be great, man.
No shifty eyed people allowed.
Not even Willem Dafoe.
Especially not Willem Dafoe.
Or Katie Kirk with that makeup.
But yeah, it's you know, that's kind of where you
it
would
irks
want
me.
Them.
It irks
bothers me.
Me
too.
Look, anytime, and I get it where there's alcohol served and all that kind of stuff because, you know, people are stupid. But I don't know, man. Like when we were at Sunday service for Christmas, and they have all the babies, they shut down all the nurseries and everything, and they have all the babies in the service and all, and they're like, don't worry, you know, if you're one of those parents and your baby's crying right now, well, that's good, because once upon a time you were that baby, and you know it's great. And he's like, the only thing I fear is the sound of gunfire in here. And I'm thinking to myself,
oh my god,
who said that?
The preacher. He was making a joke.
What?
He was making a joke, and I'm going, oh please no. Please no. My eagle eye senses, you know, I'm looking around. I'm going, if that was an invitation for some kook to go nuts, that was it. And I'm like,
what a dumb joke.
That's terrible.
It's not even funny.
No.
Just poor time.
It's cool, bro. Stick to the Bible. We
like,
good.
I'm like, shh. Don't ever say that.
Anyway,
I told Stacy, I said that was the worst thing ever.
That's not a good, not a good choice of words there, preacher man.
Kathy's parents are Catholic, so we went to Mass. And I forgot to tell you this, Patrick.
Oh, I'm going
to
enjoy this.
You know, I go every once a year if
once
I'm with
a year,
them.
Big D at
I'll
mass.
Go. I'll go to a Mass.
And it's the best part is what? It's usually Christmas Eve, which is a high Mass, probably. Where they live, they go to, like, they have, holy water and incense burning and the
yeah,
whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I think they had that.
Yeah, we don't do that every Sunday, by the way, at most churches. Yeah. But
so the priest is really old. He was up in his 80s, and apparently he had been sick, and for like 2 years he hadn't even been there. So this was his first time back, and so it was a big deal, and you know I was glad to see this guy get better and do a Mass. But he has the robe on, and you know me, I'm trying to see if I'm like, what is he wearing under his robe? Well,
you wanted to know what he was wearing under his priest robe.
Yeah, so his microphone goes out. He's wearing a little lapel mic. It goes out, so he's trying to get it fixed. Well, you know, the little battery pack that goes with
that
it.
That you usually keep around in your belt loop in
the
back.
Yeah, or your back pocket or front, whatever. Well, it's in his front pocket. So he, right there during Mass, he hikes up his robe.
Goodness.
And he's wearing gray sweatpants.
Oh, wow.
And slipper shoes like...
Oh, he was doing the gray sweatpants challenge.
Really?
Yeah.
On Twitter.
No, he was not. And he had to go, and he can't. It just got weird, man. He didn't know where it was, and so another like altar boy has to go over there and put his hand in his pocket and take out the. I know it's all. I mean, the jokes write themselves. It's awful.
Oh my God.
And I'm sitting there going, "Wow, is this happening? Is there a boy putting his hand inside the priest?
Stop!
It happened. I saw it. It happened." And he finally get it, and they get it working, and then they take the priest goes and he has to like do a reading. He has to read the Bible, And so is there something right before you do it, like, oh, it's after the word of the God, the word of God, and they say something after that. Okay, yeah. I get it backwards. So he's standing there, and they open up. It's a large Bible, and he opens it up, and he's going to – they just finished singing. And so now it's all turned to him, and he's going to do the Christmas story. Second Luke, I believe it
is. It Christmas Eve, yeah. Like in the evening, like six
and
in the evening.
Yeah. Oh, same country shepherds.
Let me just tell you,
watch over
if you are not Catholic and you are, if you're not Christian and you ever have to go to a Catholic Mass, don't go to Christmas Eve between 4 and 8 p.m.
Why?
I was at
What's
5.
Wrong with that
it
mass?
At 5 o'clock is when I was
because
there.
Because they, every year.
Is that like the most Catholic of all Catholic
no,
Mass?
No, it's because they divide the readings. They have Catholic, the Catholic missal, it's called M-I-S-S-A-L, is not that kind of missal, is split up between 3 years. And over the course of 3 years, we read the entire Bible. If you go to church every day, they read the entire Bible over a three-year period, and then it starts over again, okay? But on Christmas, they have a specific gospel reading that they read at the evening mass on Christmas Eve. They have a specific one they read at midnight. They have one they read Christmas Day during the morning and one they read Christmas Day afternoon. So there's four different Christmas masses, and the big change in them is what the readings are. Mm. So every year we go to the same mass, which is 4 o'clock in the afternoon before we go to my grandmother's house for dinner on Christmas Eve. And that's the mass where they read, and thus is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And they is that what it was? Where they start with, and Jehoshaphat behad
so-and-so. And so-and-so.
They read ancient Hebrew names for what seems like 29 minutes.
Yeah. It was myfamilytree.com.
It was just awful. And Jehoshaphat begat Halabad, and Halabad begat Kahafuma.
So why do they have to do that?
It's in the Bible. That's just the Bible reading. I guess it's because they thought, what mass are the least number of people going to for Christmas?
It was
probably
packed.
The one in the afternoon on Christmas Eve. So that's the one where we're going to read Beelzebub begat Blaglamam.
Well, I don't think Beelzebub.
Yeah, pretty sure Beelzebub.
There are some names in there, man, though. Seriously. He did a great job,
but... For he stood there for about 45 seconds because he didn't know he was supposed to read.
There's 42 generations, I want to say, total. And so they read all these names, and I'm going to tell you, half of them you've never heard before, and they're just really, really bizarre.
You hear them once a year.
But I will say this. I'm not Catholic, but I thought it was – I did enjoy – I've come to enjoy the tradition feel of it. Very much. I thought it was very respectful and very solemn. I really did enjoy it.
You ever want to see the epitome, the peak of Catholic Mass? Go to the Saturday night Mass before Easter Sunday. That is when we Catholic it up as much as possible.
Oh yeah,
that's our thing. That's when we confirm new Catholics. They baptize new Christians on the Saturday night before Easter Sunday, people who've been going to classes to learn about church and all that, we do it. And it's a big deal. They start Mass out in the dark. Everyone's holding candles.
That's cool.
The priest comes in with the big candle, and they light the Easter candle, and then we have that candle on the altar all year. It's a really big deal. If you ever think, boy, I wonder what the big Catholic Mass is, it is the Saturday vigil before Easter Sunday.
And have you ever been to the Vatican?
I've never been.
I have. Loved it.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
It was she very moving, Kirk. And we had actually left the Catholic Church when I was in second grade for a different form of Christianity. But my grandmother, still very Catholic, like so Catholic that she didn't understand that even though we weren't Catholic, we still believed in Jesus Christ's divinity. So every Christmas it would be like, well, I want to go to services, but if you people don't believe in it, it's like, no, here's my mother going, Ma! We're Christian. We get it. But when I went to the Vatican, I was very moved for the idea of my grandmother. So I bought her rosary beads, and the Pope would bless them. What they did is anybody who bought stuff in like the shop, you could leave it with your hotel information. And as long as you could wait 24 hours, I guess they put it all in a big room and the Pope would come in and like throw holy water at it and do some sort of blessing. And then they'd deliver it to you for free. So my grandma got rosary beads blessed by the Pope, which really made me the number one grandchild in her eyes, because who was ever going to top that?
That's a good point.
But it was really, it's, you walk in and it's very, you can, the artwork and the pomp and circumstance collected over millennia, it's very overwhelming, you know, regardless of what you choose to believe, it's still an amazing place to go.
And apparently the library is like pretty impressive.
I've seen
the documentaries on National Geographic.
Oh, yeah, with the glass walls and all?
Yeah, they go in and they kind of check
everything
out.
Super modern, and I've saw that too. I think I saw that in National Treasure. But
I was like, I think I saw it in Da Vinci Code or Angels and Demons.
I mean, I really do think that's where I saw it. I think it was.
That's all right.
But you know, that's what it looks like.
We get our education where we get it, all right?
They showed all that stuff on there. It's on Netflix, by the way. Last time I saw it was on Netflix.
See?
What, Patrick?
No, I was just going to kick in with a little bit of, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Ajibah, the father of Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat.
You should just go in the corner and read it, and we'll check on you.
Jehoshaphat, the father of Jeroham, the father of Uzziah.
I can one.
Uzziah, the father of Jotham. This goes on.
I hate to one-up you.
Oh, no. Do you have it memorized? Because that would one-up me.
No, what is that? Luke?
That's Matthew 1.
Matthew 1. Okay, I can... I told you that one of the best, one of the best things is to have, is this, I'm sorry, I'm doing three things at once here.
You're talking about
just
the app where it reads the Bible to you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers.
So we can just leave this going on in the background?
Oh, yeah.
Zerah by Tamar.
I sleep to this.
Ram begot Aminadab.
You can see me trying to explain to my non-Christian friends, come to Mass. It's going to be, I mean, really, it's enlightening. You'll like it. Is it boring? No, it's not boring. It's really not. And then you sit there.
Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah.
I told the bishop one year, actually. I was like, why do we do that on Christmas Eve? It's the one time where we get probably new people coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we could really, let's tell them a story from the Bible. Let's read something that might actually move them instead of reading 11 minutes of names.
So they come back another Sunday or Saturday or whenever your Mass is.
Manasseh begot
Amon. Throw a little more in that offering plate.
And Amon begot Josiah.
Little cash.
Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon.
Oh.
And after they were brought to Babylon,
is that done with the
I feel like this is one of those Christian raps that you had to learn.
You
said G-Bat.
G-Bat, whatever.
G-Bat.
G-Bat.
That might be a thing.
It could be.
That could be a thing.
Begat Azor, who begat Zadok.
Also, I noticed they did something new in my grandmother's church this year in Lorville, Louisiana. They had last year and the year before, I noticed they do, you can dedicate the Mass to somebody. All you have to do is go up to the little book.
Like sponsorship?
You go up to the little book, you're like, I dedicate this Mass to my late father, blah, blah, blah. And so they usually read these off before Mass. So like, but the typical, you know, Sunday Mass, they'll go, and this Mass is in honor of, and they'll read four or five names, you know, okay. That's nice. We all hear those names. We think of those people. It's a nice little prayer. Well, on Christmas Eve, I remember last year, the guy looked like he was getting up. The announcements usually start like 2 minutes before Mass, and then he goes right up to the point where he says, please rise, and the priest walks in. I noticed that the little guy got up there like 15 minutes before Mass started and then proceeded to read names. The Mass, is the following Mass, is in honor of these people.
It's like a radio birthday list.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And he read them off, and he's 5-6 minutes into it when I leaned over to my father and went, wouldn't it have been more efficient to just say, here's the six people Mass is not in honor of? Wouldn't that have been more? And, of course, I'm getting, I'll be disrespectful. You know, this year, they had like three extra pages in the bulletin where they just listed the names rather than reading them off.
Do you think they could sell that? Yeah. This is where my sponsorship comes
they
in.
Might,
like,
actually,
like,
I don't know.
Like, you know what? We need a new roof for the church. Donations have been down. Like,
I'm sure
look.
At the Vatican, if you want them to do mass in honor of you, yeah. they probably pay.
We sell you your own mass for $5,000.
I've said this for a long time. Like, municipalities should do that. I think, you know, states and towns and whomever, I mean, even maybe the country, we should start looking at things that we can sponsor, like national parks.
Yeah.
We can sponsor all these kinds of
things. Maybe not the national parks, but definitely
the definitely
local parks.
Local parks? Why yeah. not? And okay. each park bench has a sign on. I'm fine with that.
Before we move on,
a lot of them do that, but.
Discussion of Catholic Mass, I want to tell Carson a story. So, Carson, years ago, I was getting married in the same little church in Lauraville, Louisiana, okay? And it's this beautiful big white church, the whole thing. And I knew that Big D and Bubba were going to be hours away at an event during my wedding. So I got this fantastic surprise when the priest comes into the back area where me and all the groomsmen are hiding so that we don't see the bride.
Sure,
you
sure.
Know, and says, you have a visitor. And he walks in, and he got Big D and Bubba with him. I was like, ah, I was so excited.
Isn't that sweet?
I was
that
really sweet. They drove like 3 hours out of their way to come to my wedding.
Yeah.
And this whole thing was really cool. And then I was, you know, we do the whole thing, you know, that everybody marches in the procession. And then I'm standing there and I'm holding my fiance's hand about to get married and all this. And then they stop to do the readings and we go sit on the altar where we can kind of look out and see everybody.
You have to sit?
Yeah, we sat. You can choose.
Tells you
sit.
How many weddings I've been to.
This was a full Catholic, like 35-minute long, you know, thing. So we're sitting there, and where we're sitting, it's kind of sideways, so we can finally look out and see the people in the church. And my ex-wife leans over and goes, "Is that Big D and Bubba?" I went, "Yeah, it is." She goes, "Are they laughing?" And I look, and I can see the two of them, and they are dying. I don't know what. They're like 15 rows back, and Bubba is. This is Bubba's.
I am not.
This is Bubba's life. It's the
George Bush shoulder bounce. Yeah, I do that.
He's trying not to laugh. D is just full on laughing. He's not even trying to hide it. And like to the point that people around them are starting to look and go like,
oh,
what's going
on? I remember
on?
Now what happened.
Apparently,
the guy.
Allison's preacher, who was doing like a co-ceremony with the priest, said idea about four
every,
times.
Every single time he's like, do and yeah. I think
and
this
I
is
think
a good idea.
The idea of marriage. And then when he, look at it.
Where was so he from?
He was from North Louisiana.
Really? Because yeah. I thought that was only stuff that people in the Northeast did. No. I grew up with so many people throwing
was
R's
idea.
On the end of A's.
Well, then, so they finally stop. And they're just struggling to hold it in. And then the priest said, the Lord be with you. And everyone said, and also with you. And then Big D leans over to Bubba and apparently said, may the force be with you. And when he did that, they lost it again. And now they're literally trying to stop from rolling around on the floor.
You make it sound like we are just nothing but troublemakers.
I'm not saying y'all.
We are so well behaved.
We did the, in their defense, or in Bubba's defense, D did the same thing to me at Bubba's wedding. We were sitting at Bubba's wedding, what, I guess now 13 years ago, something like that? No,
longer than that.
It was 17 years ago. It was right after I started working with y'all.
Something like that.
And I was sitting next to D.
I don't know.
Kathy's
on. I know what year it was.
The mistake was that D and I sat right next to each other because Kathy's on the other side of D and my date's on the other side of me. And we both, man, every few seconds, D would just lean over and go, I give you $5 if you just go, eat more chicken. All this stuff that went on throughout the thing, all of a sudden I hear D just going, Bubba, Bub, don't do it, Bubba. In my ear. So I'm laughing. I'm laughing. So he starts laughing. His wife is elbowing him in the side. My
I'm offended that you would do
side.
This in church.
In church. Yeah.
Aren't you offended?
No.
Hey, didn't you have something written on the underneath your, on the back of your shoes, on your sole of your shoes? Didn't you have like a...
No,
a lot of people do that.
No,
you know?
Like some people do help and me under their.
So yeah, when they kneel down.
Seriously?
I don't think I did that.
Oh my
gosh. I didn't do that.
I know. Well, it's the stuff that they like. with the like, she got him. Uh-huh. Like, oh my, oh, can we just celebrate the fact that two people are in love and not make fun of them for it? Oh my gosh.
I have the
It's hard enough getting here.
I have that picture of that traditional picture of me trying to run away while my groomsmen are pulling me back. Yeah. You know, yeah, man, that's part
I would
of the
file
game.
For an annulment that day. Whoever I end up with, if that is done in our photo
that's
shoot, I'm like,
to
weird.
Be, that's one of the traditional shots,
see,
man.
Mine...
Or it should be me trying to run away oh. from saddling myself with some dude. See?
See?
Mine,
swapping
it
up.
Where all the groomsmen help me down and put a suit on me.
See, that's cute. I like that. That's very you. That was...
They shaved him. They put a suit on. They put some deodorant on him.
Off.
It was amazing.
They drew things on his face.
It's like that part of the Tarzan movie where they show him how to walk like a man in the shoes of man.
All right, I think we're done, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Carson, by the way, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
This is your 1 year anniversary
one year,
with us, right?
Yes.
It's also our 3 year anniversary of our first show in this studio.
Yeah.
Yay.
What an Lots exciting time.
You
what
still like us?
Things.
Yes, very much. I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm like, so yeah, I just want to make sure I'm still doing everything good because I don't want to find another job ever.
Aww.
Precious.
Well, you're not going to like what we tell you now. All right. Thank you to our sponsors for this week's podcast.
Yep. Straight Talk Wireless, nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Only at Walmart. Check them out. Straight Talk Wireless. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.